we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Yorkshire Post, read by Catriona Young.
Teesside Crown Court heard that Brown, who admitted robbery, turned to crime after asking the Citizens Advice Bureau for help.
Well, thank you, Christine Holgate of Harrogate, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Would you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams, and from the Daily Telegraph, Jane Thin. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and half of the brains behind Channel 4's Drop the Dead Donkey, Andy Hamilton. Now, before we start round one, here's an item from Pullman's Weekly News, sent to us by G.B. Jones of Axminster.
Vets had to carry out an emergency operation on a Jack Russell Terrier called Sam after she ate nearly 40 pebbles on Branscombe Beach. Owner Tony Garland realised things were wrong when Sam started to rattle on the way home.
Richard, your first question. Who's been knocked out after a 6-6 draw?
It must be a Gaza, I think. No, it isn't. It's that awful woman, Mrs. Boyens, boring Mrs. Bore, whatever her name is, who brought this very boring libel action in the court. It was all to do with whether this woman had been on holiday with Mellor or not, and she thought it was a great insult to her that...
that I can
anyway,
believe, yes.
She did it out of loyalty to her great friend Mellor, and thus brought about his resignation. So hats off to Mrs. Boyens. The nation mourns.
In a roundabout way, you have it, of course. It is the resignation of David Mellor, the ex-minister for fun, football and hanky-panky, preparably all three at the same time. His decision to act honourably came after he had been dragged down by the tabloids, after mounting speculation. Jane, where did the power of recall become debatable?
They recalled Parliament, didn't they?
That's exactly right. What yeah. It is. Thank you, Richard.
Yes, I'm not just a pretty face, you know.
His memory is so much better than mine. It's the recall of Parliament today,
yes.
And or rather 2 days ago, and yesterday.
Yes. Of course. People who listen to this programme are used to these strange time warps that we go into. It was the emergency recall of Parliament this week to debate the appalling state of sterling and the economy, and for the government benches to give a warm vote of thanks to David Mellor for keeping it all well away from the front pages of the papers. Labour took the opportunity to announce the winner of their Spot the Leader of the Opposition competition. A small, rotund John Smith rushed back from Blackpool and a successful season as third Diddy man to deliver his maiden leadership speech with the revolutionary concept that the only sure way to improve Britain's weak economy is to make it stronger. Watch out, folks. Labour are back. Andy, why are sleeping policemen in for a bumpy ride?
Oh, this is because Kenneth Clark has come up with the revolutionary idea that if a policeman is useless at his job, then he should be sacked, as opposed to either suspended on full pay or given a pension. And bad policemen must go, he said.
Right, absolutely.
And he got 8 parking tickets on the way home, apparently. Actually, I'd just like to stick up for David Mellor, actually, as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very unfair. One thing that I just never believed about that story was the business about the Chelsea shirt. Because any person who watches Chelsea every week would know you don't make love in a Chelsea shirt, because the moment you put the blue shirt on, you're very lethargic and unimaginative. So, so I just don't think that bit ran true at all. Yeah.
Surely you would have been wearing the away strip anyhow.
Well, that's
think
right,
about it.
Yes. Mind you, I've seen the away strip. It's pretty unpleasant. But,
wish you hadn't said sticking up for David Mellor. Carry on. I'll have a piece of music now, if it's all right.
No. You'll get it in due course. I've just got to tell you that it's all about Home Secretary Kenneth Clark, who urged senior police officers to throw out lazy and incompetent policemen and women if they could be bothered. Alan, have a listen to this. The question, what Sunday outing had a certain je ne sais quoi?
What was that piece of music?
Well, it was called Oui, si tu me dis oui, by Alix Campbell.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, this was about the very oui-oui that the French expressed by 0.5%. And they dragged themselves, kicking and spluttering, into Europe.
Didn't you go to France for the oui or non vote?
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you? Was it nice?
Yeah, it was terrific.
How did you vote?
Well, I went to a tiny village called Saint-Martin-d'Oïde, which is 60 kilometres south of Toulouse, because I thought I could influence them, because they're all non-voters down there, all terrible peasants. And I stood outside the mayor and tried to tell them about the ERM. And I couldn't make myself understood. Every time I tried to tell them about the European monetary system, they said things like, I like a cigarette for you, or the time is 2:30. So I couldn't actually make my influence felt. But it was all very exciting. Only three people turned up in this village. Really did. Three peasants turned up and voted. Didn't know what they're voting for.
And the scores at the end of the first round are 4-4. We start round two with a tale from Spain reported in the Bradford Telegraph and Argus.
Spaniard José Rodríguez lost a testicle when he was gored while running with the bulls in Pamplona last year. This year, he went back to taunt them again and lost his other one.
Wouldn't want to be there next year.
Thank you, Brenda Ashby, for sharing that amazing news story with us. We're delighted to get it. Richard, your turn again. How could tax dodging and passing false checks both have hellish consequences?
Very, very interesting question there.
It's the Holy Father, isn't it?
It is the Holy Father, Jane. You're quite right. It's the Holy Father. It is the Holy Father who's taken exception to all manner of things.
Including leaded petrol.
Leaded petrol and David Mellor-type activities.
Filling your expenses and basically virtually everything that half the population of Italy gets up to.
And horoscopes.
Yes. And horoscopes.
But then
horoscopes.
He would say that. He's a Libra. They're
very sound. Very sound. And I hope he's condemned Channel 4 as well while he's about it. That's it. That's the answer at the paper.
Good. You're absolutely right. This does refer to the Pope, the infamous serial tarmac kisser. The pontiff has ensured a high level of guilt with new commandments like, thou shalt not read horoscopes, thou shalt not drink milk straight from the bottle, and thou shalt not accept lavish holidays, including flights in a rented villa in Marbella. Jane, who's joined the Carlton Club with a murky past?
Oh, you got me here.
Well, I'll give you a small but telling clue.
A clue-ette, please.
Vroom, vroom.
That looks like a car, but judging by your impersonation of an albatross last week...
Look... Albatross has been highly praised in the provincial press.
Obviously, it's Nigel Mansell, is it?
No, it isn't.
That's the only car question I know, I'm afraid.
The royalty car, is it?
Yes.
This is Princess Diana, isn't it?
That's it. That's
who's
right.
Had to ditch her Mercedes because it's German.
The Bundesbank.
It's her personal protest. But she's been told that the most British car she could get is a Reliant Robin.
You're absolutely right. This is the royal family's contribution to National Belt Tightening Week in sending back Princess Diana's £72,000 Mercedes-Benz sports car and leaving them just a two-helicopter family. The loss of the Mercedes also reflects the poor state of Anglo-German relations, or as the princess calls them, mother and father-in-law.
Very quick satire.
Andy, here's a piece of music for you.
Son, get a kick from cocaine. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff, that would bore me terrifically too. Yet I get a kick out of you.
The question is, who fell foul of an early bath?
Ah, right. This was John Major's son, Chopper Major, who was sent off playing football. And it was a little bit unclear whether he was sent off for a second bad tackle or for using strong language. I didn't know what strong language would be in the major household, you know.
That was most unsatisfactory.
Anyway, but he got sent off, and he got... And Chelsea have signed him, actually, on professional terms. Everyone said it was a shame that he was picked on for being the Prime Minister's son, which I agree with, I think.
He suffered enough.
He suffered enough, yes.
And so is the bloke he kicked up in the air, however. It's all about 17-year-old James Major, who was sent off in a football match at his public school. Major Minor, son of the Prime Minister, Major Cockup, was shown... was shown the red card after making a tackle which would have had his late-grandfather turning on his trapeze. However, the experience hasn't dampened his enthusiasm, and he still dreams of performing in a Chelsea strip. An ambition. It runs in the government. Alan, why did lots come out of the boot down at the seat?
This is about the Duke of Westminster's stuffed hippo. And lots of other toys. Duke of Westminster's got this big cupboard with Tigger, Winnie the Pooh. And full on hard times, down to his last 300 billion. And he's found one of the houses that he's owned for some year in the country, and it had all this unnecessary stuff in it. And he sold it for 300,000 quid.
Yes, that's right.
What I didn't know was why. I mean, is he strapped? Is he like Di? Are things bad? Are all these frightful people setting us examples by getting down to the last 18 houses and 30 Bentleys and things? You know why he did it?
If you had a stuffed hippo, what would you do with it?
Yes, well, there's the... No,
I have a different private life from that.
Britain's richest totter even sold off his hall carpet, all 26 miles of it, and a dog sleigh. The dog doesn't need it anymore, not since he finished his private skiing lessons. And the scores at the end of the second round are still tied 8-all. Well played. We start round three with news from the Harlow Herald and Post.
Local sales of Lada and Proton cars are on the increase thanks to Smith's Motors. The customer is our number one priority, says General Manager Tony Powell. We try extremely hard to satisfy them, and we obviously succeed because they return time and time again for repairs.
Well, thank you, Sheila Carroll of Harlow, for that. And, Richard, it's you again. Which unhappy couple's courting days aren't over yet?
This is poor old Mellor again. I think he's suffered enough.
Poor old Mellor again.
Is this the wedding couple?
It is.
Is this the daughter and son-in-law of Norman and Gladys Smith who've gone to court cost of the wedding breakfast?
Yes, that's right.
It's in-laws breaking with tradition by deciding that the row should actually start at the wedding itself. The mum and dad of the bride have refused to pay. And they're all going to court about it.
Absolutely right. You get your points for that. It was the in-law infighting which broke out following the wedding of Angela Smith and Chris White when her mum accused his mum of providing food for the reception that was no better than a school meal and refused to hand over her £863 dinner money. The Smith family is now being sued for the balance. It's a case of not so much losing a daughter as gaining a summons. But until the case is heard, our lawyers tell us there's no truth in the silly story that the boots tie behind the wedding car had already appeared once on the meat course, or that something old and something blue turned out to be a prawn cocktail. Jane, will you have a listen to this?
Gee, I wish I was back in the army. The army wasn't really bad at all. You got 3 meals a day for which you didn't pay. Uniforms for winter, spring and fall. There's a lot to be said for the army.
Jane, your question is, whose paranoia caused a defence attack?
Yeah. Well, judging by the song, you might guess it was about some American GIs, but it's actually about the paras who are objecting to a new BBC series called Civvies. Rather like the Charge of the Light Brigade, they went in very strong and then had to mount an embarrassing tactical retreat because the Colonel Commandant of the Paras made the revolutionary decision to actually watch the programme and decided it was rather good, and so they had to apologise.
Well answered. Civvies tells the story of poor old Archie Hamilton, no relation, an out-of-work, disorientated defence minister who can't tell the difference between real life and a TV series. He thinks the grey-haired bloke with glasses he keeps seeing on the box really is running the country. We pause now for an apology or two from the Wickham Star.
Unfortunately, our report on the funeral of Sarah Jones contained a number of mistakes. We got her first name wrong and also said she was buried at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when she wasn't. Our apologies. It was also incorrect for us to state John was a murderer. He admitted killing three members of the Harris family, but wasn't convicted of murder. Also, Andy Ford's record-breaking half-marathon run wasn't at Wickham, but at Slough. Well done, the person who dropped in the anonymous note spotting Gilbert Fantham's marrow wasn't 27 inches in diameter, but circumference. Apologies to anyone confused by our chemist's rota last week. It contained the wrong date. And what is this animal pictured right? Well, it's not a gerbil, as we said last week. It's a guinea pig, which was winner in the cavy section at Wickham Show.
Well done, Catriona, and thank you, Ian Gilvere from Bucks, for sending us that. Andy, what floated internationally but splashed down with little inflation?
The pound floated. No, hang on a second, though. Uh-huh. Now, is this cunning? Is this the balloons?
It is the balloons.
Yes, the balloons. Lots of madmen decided to come across the Atlantic. The winner will be the first one who crossed a road in Europe. Presumably there are four winners still stuck on the M25 somewhere. I don't know. but I believe somebody won it, and I think some Germans splashed down in the sea, didn't they? Or
it was equally as unpredictable and crazy as the ERM, but actually much more satisfying, because the Germans fell down first, yeah, and the British emerged as heroes, and the Belgians won, which nobody really minded about.
Why were we heroes? What did we do?
We saved the Dutch.
Dutch needed all the help they could get, I think. The German crew were the first to ditch about halfway, despite plenty of practice throwing overboard sacks of ballast, marked pound coins only. Also correct when you said the race was won by Belgium, the first to land on a Portuguese beach. This was a record-breaking 3,000-mile performance. No one's ever beaten the Germans to the beach before. Alan, who brought home the bacon from an old spot?
It's a very strange story. I hoped it was going to be the one about the Japanese 20,000 noses. Are we having that?
No.
They've sent back 20... as a goodwill gesture.
What?
The Japanese have returned 20,000 noses to South Korea. They were cut off in a war of 1571. They've been kept in a large Japanese tin. It was in the Telegraph, and they returned them on Wednesday. The funny buggers. I mean, what kind of a goodwill gesture is that? Here, Johan knows it. Anyway, just to show the English are equally peculiar, when Captain Cook visited the South Seas, his men would swim ashore and start infesting the natives with all kinds of social diseases they'd never had before, and wouldn't come off the islands, because they like doing that. It's like Mutiny on the Bounty. And Captain Cook went ashore himself and got a pig with a spot on it. I don't think it was a social disease. It was just born with this spot on it. He took it back to the boat. And then, it's true, and he ran this curious message up the mast to one of the Tongan chiefs, saying, if you don't let me have my first mate back, we'll kill the pig. The Tongan chief kept the first mate. I don't know what he was doing to him, but he kept him. And Captain Cook, always being as good as his word, sailed back to England with his pig. She turned out to be pregnant. And he gave it to a Gloucestershire farmer as trophy. The pig then produced four piglets, and that's why we have old spot pigs all over Gloucestershire. I swear, it's true.
Wonderfully done. It's the origin of the Gloucestershire Old Spot Pig, which has been traced back to the amorous adventures of Captain Cook's crew. In a document entitled Nautical Livestock Migration in the 18th Century, or Any Pork in a Storm. I did warn you. Researchers claim to have found common characteristics between the old spot and the pig seized by Cook in Hawaii. Both go well with tomato ketchup, and both look rather fetching in grass skirts. The good captain held Hawaiian pigs as hostages in exchange for the surrender of sailors who'd run off with native girls. The ones who'd run off with pigs were left to their own devices. And the scores at the end of the third round are still tied at 12-all. Well played. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Miss O'Connor denied running a brothel but was fined £200 by the magistrate. Police who raided the premises found more than £2,000 in cash, a vibrator, and a National Westminster Bank brochure called Starting Up Your Own Business.
Thank you, John Lewis of Yorkshire, for sending that in. Richard, here's a piece of music for you. The question is, who had their last waltz to Never on a Sunday? I think Jane may help you out here.
It's tea dances. It's tea Sunday dances. Tea dances. Yeah. Somewhere where they've been banned, I forget where.
Right.
The Midlands somewhere, I think. Well. And they're now going to be held on Saturday, which is a shame because everybody's down at the Texas Home Care on Saturday and they don't really want to go along. And so the whole tradition will fall into disuse, I suppose.
Have tea dances at Texas Home Care. That's the answer, isn't it? Go through
Yes, it's the modern thinking. West Wiltshire Council, actually, which has banned Sunday afternoon tea dances because they contravene the Sunday Observance Act of 1780. The council's also warned that any suffragettes found chained to railings will be forcibly removed and burnt at the stake. Jane, whose knight in the driving snow put him on the slippery slope?
Well, I forget his actual name, but he was on skis, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he was being towed along at 25 miles an hour, wasn't he? And he was stopped by the police, who were good police, and gave him a parking ticket and told him not to do it again.
That's right.
It was Scotland, wasn't it?
It was in Scotland, yes.
And they said the sheriff said he thought it could have been distracting for other drivers. Because they couldn't make up their mind whether it was careless driving or not, because he wasn't actually in a car.
Oh, I see.
So it was a sort of legal nicety as to whether or not he could be done for reckless...
skiing?
Yeah, slaloming without
right,
due care and attention.
That's
or something. Yeah.
Well, absolutely right. His name was, as far as I can work out, Desmond Cheney, who was banned from driving after he was caught being towed by a car along a snow-covered road in the Grampians. In Banff Court, a Scottish judge gave Cheney 3 penalty points, whilst the Finnish and Canadian judges both gave him 4.8. Andy, why is the curse of the mummy's tomb not to be sniffed at?
This is a disgusting story.
Right.
About the tomb of Tutankhamun, or Tut, as he'd like to be known, I think. It's sweat from tourists' bodies. is sort of peeling off the thousands of year old murals of gods with dogs' faces and things, and I don't know how they're solving it. They're either asking the tourists to sweat less when they go in, or I think they're closing it down, aren't they, and saying we'll put the stuff in a museum and you can come and sweat at it there. I'm not sure.
I cannot but feel this has a connection with the 40,000 Korean noses. the Japanese are returning to them. This is the tomb of Tutankhamun, as you so rightly say. It's had to be closed for cleansing work because tourists passing through produce a total of 50 pints of perspiration daily. They had to do something. The smell was getting so bad it was starting to revive the mummies. Alan, whose B-test pass proved to be one over the four?
We're not doing the world record herring.
No.
Oh, you read that, didn't you? Greg Hunter. Caught a 1 pound, 2 ounce herring. Biggest herring ever caught in England, and his cat ate it. When they came to weigh it, there was only a bone. Like in Film Fund. Do you remember that? B-test. It's a drink and drive story.
Yeah, drink and drive story it is. Yeah. Do you know on the other side of the other team?
We do know, but we're not going to say it.
Well, I will tell you and put you all out of your misery. It is the motorist who amazingly passed a police breath test after drinking 5 pints of beer and then had the cheek to complain to trading standards officers that they'd sold weak ale. Meanwhile, a council inspector has called in to test the offending brew and found it up to strength. Well, he thinks it was because things got a bit blurred after his third pint. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard?
Something from Suffolk this week.
Oh,
the lady. Sudbury Mercury, no less.
Good heavens.
It says Roger Catchpole, 12, was granted a shotgun licence this summer and learned the safe use of a gun from his grandmother, Joan Catchpole, 78, who still shoots herself.
Richard, do you by any chance have another cutting?
Yeah, I've done that one before.
Somebody
Everybody's
has.
Done that one before, love.
Oh.
It's been so done every week.
I haven't got another one. So sorry, I'm a bit out of touch, as some of you may have gathered.
I always liked the hole the police were looking into. We used to do that a lot in
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought something for us?
Something from Scunthorpe this week.
Oh. What a bit of luck.
Scunthorpe always gets a laugh. It's a court case in Scunthorpe. She read out evidence from eyewitness Kevin James Donnelly, who said that Wilcox was legless at the time of the assault and had given Mr. Doran a good kicking.
Jolly good. You couldn't have made a better choice. Jane, what have you brought for us?
Well, mine comes from the Down Recorder, and it says, two Downpatrick men who mooned at a police car were brought down to earth when they appeared at the local court. Curran and Fitzsimmons of Strangford Road were each bound over to keep the peace for 12 months. Curran was also fined £25 for failing to wear a seatbelt. Said Magistrate Mr. Fife, in that position, it would have been very difficult to wear a seatbelt.
It would indeed. Andy.
Mine comes from the London Evening Standard of today, 2 days ago. Revenge of a lovesick pilot. Pilot Randy Mock, 30, buzzed his ex-girlfriend's neighbourhood for 2 hours and then crashed his plane into her home when the tank ran dry. I told him he wasn't welcome in my home, said the girl's father, as he surveyed a living room filled with shattered glass and bits of aluminium fuselage. He also said, I guess this is how he got in.
Well done, a joy. Alan.
I have one from the North Hereford Advertiser.
Oh.
Pensioner Mrs. Alice Lee takes great comfort from the fact that the 11 cats she has had during her life are all still with her, although only one remains alive. On each of their deaths, the other 10 were stuffed and are now placed around the living room of her Leominster cottage in lifelike poses. They are all called Timmy, Mrs. Lee told me. But, of course, only one comes when I call his name.
Let me give you the scores at the end of the competition. They're quite surprising, because Alan and Andy have scored a terrific 14, but Richard and Jane are this week's winners with 16. Well played. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Daily Mirror, sent in by George Pinter of Watford.
A tribe of pygmies has been banned from driving after 37 accidents in Zaire because they can't see over the dashboard.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corrin, Jane Thin and Andy Hamilton. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.